Matt mentioned this morning that several of you receive a Bible verse that I sent out by text or by email or messenger or WhatsApp. And he was referring to my text this morning from Wednesday, May 1st. I've been reading through Numbers, and I took note of the fact that in the first six chapters, each chapter began with "The Lord spoke to Moses." And that really ministered to me, that we have a speaking God. And back then he spoke to Moses, but he speaks to us as well. So that was the scripture for the day. And that was May 1st, right? So after I quoted the text, I put this in the text as well. "I'm in Minnesota Wednesday through Monday. I might not have internet or cell access." So I was letting folks know that if you don't get the text every day, this is the reason why. Because you don't all have T-Mobile out here. What I have to do in order to get a signal is drive to the cemetery. The cemetery, the Minnesota cemetery, is a cell hotspot. Perhaps in more ways than one. So I got a signal today, as a matter of fact. But anyway, that was the text. "The Lord spoke to Moses. I'm in Minnesota Wednesday through Monday. I might not have internet or cell access." Well, there's several people out in the church in Santa Ana that likewise get the text. And Alondra sent this back to me. You'll like this. She's got an 8-year-old son, and every day they read the scripture together. So she wrote back, "I asked Nicholas to read me the verse of the day," which was, "The Lord spoke to Moses." Right away, I knew something was wrong. Nicholas, however, was puzzled and said, "God's in Minnesota?" He doesn't need internet or a cell phone. So that was kind of out of the mouth of babes, right? So that was kind of cute. This all started, I don't know if I ever told you this, but this all started 4.5 years ago. We've got a granddaughter who at that time was, she was 17, and she's a redhead. Need I say any more? She is a redhead. She's got a mind of her own. And at that point in time in her life, she didn't want anybody to tell her what to do, and she was going to make her own decisions and so on and so forth. And she was really on the fence as to whether she was going to go a good way or a bad way with her friends that she was hanging out with. And she really loves Beth and me. She really does. We're very, very close. But there was nothing we could do to persuade her that, hey, you're playing with fire. You're potentially going down the wrong path. And but we couldn't convince her. So one day I said to her, I said, "Sweetheart," I said, "there's something I would like to do, but only with your permission." And she said, "What's that, Grandpa?" And I said, "What I'd like to do is I'd like to send you a verse from the Bible every day. Would that be okay?" She says, "Yeah, that'd be fine. I'd like that." So every day, for the last 4.5 years, she gets a verse from the Bible. Now, why do I do that? Because I believe there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. That He can do through His Word, whatever that Word might be, far better than what I can do with my words. So those of you who get the text, you know I don't make any statements. I don't try to, share anything about the verse. You just get the Word of God. Because it says in Psalm 29, verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Hebrews 4:12, God's word is living and powerful. So I just believe that. And it's incredible how just the word of God has transformed that young woman. I mean, just last Sunday, she was in our meeting and just responding to the Lord with a worshiping heart. 2 weeks prior to that, I preached and I said, anybody who really wants to receive the fullness of the Spirit, come forward. She was one of those people. So there's really been a dramatic change in her life as a result of, I believe, just receiving the Word of God every day. And many times she'd say, oh, thanks, Grandpa, I needed to hear that today. Anyway, going back 4 years ago, she had friends over to our house, and they heard that we were doing this. I was doing this, sending a text every day, a Bible verse. Oh, can we get it? Sure, you can get it. So now 10 of her friends get it every day for 4 years, every day. And most of them, non-Christian homes, broken families, and so on and so forth. Well, I shared that with our church. And one of the ladies, Stacy, she said, oh, you've got a text ministry. Can I get it? And other people in our church says, we'd like to get it. Some of the people, they're over 50 and they don't have teenagers, so they don't text. But we do email. Can we get it on email? Okay, sure, you can get it on email. And so I've never pushed this, but different places around the world where I've traveled, I've told what I've just told you. I now have 140 people that receive God's word every day. And I don't pick it up off some Bible app. It's just in my, where I'm at in my reading, I pray, and something strikes me. Oh, that seems to be the word. So I send it out. So if there's any of you who would like to get the Bible verse every day, just give me your cell phone or your email, and we will add you to the list. And I think you'd be blessed by that. Okay, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to 3. I'm conscious of the clock and conscious of getting out of here a little earlier at a reasonable time. And I don't want to go over time, but most preachers, you know, why use 10 words when 100 will do? But I'll do my best. You can help me, actually. The word in Spanish for now is ya. Okay? And there's a word that's universal amongst Christians for praise the Lord. And that word is hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. Well, this one church, the Spanish church that I preach at, when the preacher goes on too long, they begin shouting out, hallelujah! Now, over, hallelujah. So if you think I've gone too far, too long, you know what to begin shouting out. Okay, hallelujah. Funny, I've got a friend, pastor in L.A. His name is Otoniel Ayala. And I was at a church where he was preaching. And he began his message by saying, soy hombre de pocas palabras, pero muchas explicaciones. I'm a man of few words, but much explanation. So I've got a few words to share with you tonight from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to 3. That'll be our launching text. And I'd like you to take note in this passage, three verses, Isaiah 64, 1 to 3. The two words are your presence. Because I want to speak to you tonight a little bit about the presence of God, that there's no substitute, absolutely no substitute for God's presence. So take note of your presence in these three verses. And of course, it's a prayer. And Lord, we take the text tonight and we pray it for our own lives, for our families, for our church, for our community, for our county, for our country. We do as we read this. Lord, this is our prayer as well. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and that you would come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and that you... Don't we need God to come down in our country? Don't we need God, the manifest presence of God, the power of God, the kingdom of God to come in this our day? We really do, don't we? Oh, that you would come down, that you would rend the heavens, come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down. The mountains shook at your presence. Recently, a number of months ago, reading through the Gospels and thinking about my own life, how much time do I have left? You'll find it difficult to believe, but I do get the Denny's discount for seniors. The thing that always ticks me off is they never ID me. But I'm thinking, how much time do I have left? And more than anything else, I want my life to be fruitful in the last quarter, whatever time I have. And I felt like the Lord gave me a promise as I was reading through the scripture. Very interesting. It came up last night as we were praying together with our friends. And it was a similar prayer and desire that Mike had. And it's found in Mark 9, verse 1, where Jesus said to some of those who were there present with him, he said, there's some of you who are sitting here who will not taste death until you see my kingdom come in power. And I got thinking about bucket lists. And I thought, that's the only thing I want in my bucket list. I want to see in my community, especially, I want to see God's kingdom come in power. Don't you want that? Yeah. Let's just stop. Just several of you pray a brief prayer. Finish this prayer. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come in power because. Several of you, brief prayers. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come in power because. Amen. Thanks, Ted. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come in power because.
Because your name is being blasphemed every day, Lord. And you're worthy of glory and honor. You deserve so much, so far. Will you send fire from heaven down and consume everything?
Lord, we pray that for this church. Once again, Isaiah's prayer, that you would come down, that you would rend the heavens, Lord, that your kingdom would come. The presence of God be so powerful in Bethel Church, Lord, and in this community, that there would be a new, fresh fire that would be ignited in this body of believers, Lord, that would spread far beyond this county. Lord, we take you at your word this morning, tonight, like we heard this morning. We hear this. You spoke these words, Lord Jesus, and we appropriate it as a prophetic word, as I do, but collectively, Lord, that there are some of you who are sitting here. You will not taste death until you see my kingdom come in power. We believe that, Lord. We appropriate that. Do it, Lord, for your glory and for your name's sake. Amen. So I want to share a little bit tonight of some things that I've been walking through recently, and it has to do with intimacy with God, really getting closer to the Lord and my own experience. I'll just share with you that Beth and I were walking at a beautiful, beautiful park very close to our home. We go there several times during the week. If you were to come and visit us, we would take you there, and on our walk, we would show you alligators. We've counted as many as 14 alligators because there are four ponds that are linked together, and these ponds are lakes. The area is called Chain of Lakes, and if you do all four, if you walk around all four lakes, you do 3.5 miles, and many, many times, every time we see alligators, as many as 14 one time, didn't we, Beth? So Beth and I were walking, and this is what she said to me. It was so powerful, I almost asked her to repeat it, but I think I got it down, and I thought, I've got to write this when I get home, and I did. This is what she said to me. Listen, something has happened to you in the last 8 months. You have changed. I feel more loved, more respected, more listened to. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. That's what she said to me in our walk. And I thought of the quote by D.L. Moody. He said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows that he is a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know that he's a Christian. So it struck me that she mentioned a time frame. She said 8 months. And I thought about that, and I thought, wow. It was 8 months previous that I went to a three-day pastor's prayer retreat, pastors from our local gathering. We get away once a year for 3 days of prayer without any agenda. We just have our Bibles, and we seek the face of the Lord. And in the course of that 3 days, we began to sense that God was saying to us, make my presence your pursuit. Make my presence your pursuit. And we felt like, it wasn't audible, but we felt like God spoke three names to us when we were together. And the three names were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Three Bible names. And the Lord was saying to us, you want to see power in your lives and in your ministries and in your churches. That's the Lazarus part, resurrection power. But he said this to us, we believe, that these three were related in the natural and they are related in the spiritual, and you've got to get the order right. You've got to get the order correct. You've got to put Mary before Martha if you really want to see Lazarus power in your lives and in your ministries. And so I've really taken that to heart. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Mary? You know from Luke 10 that she was the one, the sister of Martha, who Jesus said, she's chosen the best part because she's sitting at my feet. Martha was the worker. It says that she also sat at the Lord's feet, but with the gathering of the disciples, you could see what was happening. She began to do a head count, looked at her watch, almost lunchtime, and she got distracted that somebody's got to prepare lunch. And you know the story, how Jesus commended Mary and said to Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary's chosen the best part. And so what we learn from that is that being precedes doing. Being precedes doing. Abiding precedes going. Private precedes public. Worship precedes work. Mary precedes Martha. Listen, this is what God would say to you, as he said to me. I want your company more than I want your cooking. God wants your company more than he wants your cooking. Say to the person beside you, God wants your company more than he wants your cooking. As I said a moment ago, that abiding precedes going. It is true that these two sisters, they're twin sisters, they're related. We need both, but we've got to get the order correct. We've got the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, in our back pocket, go into all the world and preach the gospel. However, we remember that just a few days before Jesus said that, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, except you abide in me, only then can you bring forth fruit. So the fruitfulness has got to come out of this place of abiding, of intimacy with the Lord. And in my travels, I find that's very difficult for most Christians, because most of us are wired. We do Martha well, but Mary maybe not so well. When I first saw that beautiful woman working in a Kinney shoe store, and I thought to myself, that's the one for me. I didn't say to myself, wow, that woman could produce good children for me. Slap, slap, if I had have done that. No, children were the natural byproduct of love and intimacy, union. And it's like that in the spiritual, just that simple. That fruitfulness will come out of abiding and intimacy with the Lord. You remember in Revelation 2 how the church at Ephesus, they were really commended for all the good works that they'd done, right? Many, many honorable things and commendable things that the church had done. However, Jesus had a strong rebuke for them, didn't he? He said, you have what? You've lost your first love. You've left your first love. You've put Martha before Mary. You put Martha before Mary. And you need to repent. What was the first message, Sandy, that you preached in your church in 2019? Here it is, and I'll give it to you as a challenge. The message title was, The First 19 in 19. The First 19 in 19. And I challenge the people in our church, starting today, starting tomorrow morning, give God the first 19 minutes of the day, at least. The first 19 in 19. And I've sought to do that myself. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many will take up the challenge that before you go to email, before you go to Facebook, before you go to the news, whatever it might be, I'm going to give God the first 19 minutes. I'm not talking legalistically, but I want to come and get into the presence of God, alone with Him and with His Word, and commit myself and my day to Him. Oswald Sanders says this. You might want to write this down. This is an excellent book. I've read it many times on this very subject. The title of Oswald Sanders' book is Enjoying Intimacy with God. Is that true of you? Do you enjoy just being alone with the Lord? Do you enjoy intimacy with God? Just sitting at His feet with His Word, letting Him speak to you, letting him strengthen you, encourage you through His Word. It was Hudson Taylor that said, you don't have your concert first and then tune your instrument. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer. You don't have your concert and then tune your instrument. No, you don't do it that way. So as a result, personally, of seeking to go deeper with the Lord and make this a priority of being a lover, a worshiper, one who really does believe that God wants my company more than he wants my cooking. Did I tell you that already? Say it to the person beside you. He wants your company more than your cooking. But since I began to put this in practice in a deep way, I've never been so close to the Lord in 50 years of walking with the Lord. I've never seen God, heard God, seen his will so clearly in my life as I have recently over these last months, year or so. I've never heard his voice so distinctly as I've begun to do that. Never been so confident in my ministry. Never been so secure and less fearful in my ministry as well. Never bounced back more quickly after disappointment or discouragement or whatever. It's all because of this. I've never had such peace. You'll find this hard to believe when I've been attacked personally. Yeah. And as a result, I've never... You've got a good pastor here. You've got a good pastor here. Is he perfect? And all God's people say, we know he's not perfect. But you've got a good pastor, a good godly pastor, and you need to. Actually, guys like him, they're rare. To be honest with you, they're really rare. So take good care of him and his wife. Anyway, and especially when other people want to unload on him and feel like it, you know, it's open season on the pastor. They think that they can. I was just reading in Numbers this morning how Miriam and Aaron got into big trouble for complaining. You know, we're just as good as Moses. You know, why can't we speak the word? And God was really ticked off with them. And, you know, Miriam, she was leprous for a while. And, wow, they learned a lesson. So you've got a good one. He is flesh and blood, he's an earthen vessel, but he is God's instrument and he is God's anointed, and you need to respect and give honor to those that God has given you. But you've got a good one with his wife as well. So I wanted to show you something tonight I think you'll enjoy, but before I show you this video clip, I was speaking at a conference in England, about 1,200 people, several years ago, and Beth was with me, and I was the main speaker with a guy by the name of Dr. Steve Brady, who's the principal of Moorlands Bible College. And he and I were sharing the ministry, and it was Monday. He had the first session, and I was to follow him. I'd never met him before, but he came highly qualified and recommended. Anyway, he preached, and then there was going to be a 15-minute break. Well, after he preached, I mean, he knocked it out of the park. I mean, he really did, didn't he, Beth? I mean, it was incredible. He brought the Word of God. It was interesting. He had humor, but there was just the Lord spoke through him in a powerful, powerful way. And so his session was over. We had a 15-minute break. Beth says to me, "How are you going to follow that?" Yeah, true. How are you going to follow that? And of course, I didn't have the answer to the question. So I went away, and I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And so the Lord reminded me of something. So when I got back and it was my turn to speak, I shared this with them. I said, in America, I said, they have a big horse race. It's called the Kentucky Derby. And I said, this farmer entered his donkey in the Kentucky Derby. And his neighbor said, "Are you crazy? Your donkey doesn't have a hope in winning the Kentucky Derby. That's the premier race for thoroughbreds in the whole country." He says, oh, I know he's not going to win. He said, I'm just hoping the exposure will do him some good. So, actually, we ended up hanging out with Steve and his wife, Brenda, and we had a great time. But when it was his turn to speak next time, he said, I just want to tell Sandy that he didn't make an ass of himself. That's what he said. Anyway, speaking of the Kentucky Derby, they just ran it yesterday. It was the 145th running yesterday in Louisville, the Kentucky Derby. And it was very, very controversial finish because the horse that crossed the finish line first was disqualified because they said he interfered with the other horses during the race. And his name was Maximum Security. And the next horse, Country House, was the one that ended up winning the Kentucky Derby. Okay? The Kentucky Derby, it's a mile and a quarter, and it's part of the Triple Crown of races. The next one is the Preakness, which is a mile and three-eighths. And then the longest one and most difficult is the Belmont Stakes, which is a mile and a half. In 1973, there was a horse by the name of Secretariat that won the Triple Crown. But what was amazing about Secretariat is that he won the Belmont by an incredible, unheard of 31 lengths. And after the knock against Secretariat is that, yes, he was good on the shorter courses, but he's not going to be able to endure the long race. He'll break down. He won't be able to make it. And so the trainer, Lucien Lauren, said to Penny Chenery, the owner of Secretariat, we've got a choice to make. We've got 2 weeks before the Belmont. Wisdom would say, rest the horse for 2 weeks in preparation for this long, long race. But I don't think we should do that. He said, I believe this horse loves to run. And I think we should continue to train him hard and then let him run his race. He said, I don't know what that'll do to the horse, but this is what I think we should do. It's your call. And that's what we did. That's what they did. And he won by 31 lengths. We're going to show you the final scene from the movie. Anybody seen the movie, Secretary? It's a great movie, isn't it? We're going to show you the clip from the final scene of the movie, Secretariat, and I think you'll enjoy this.
Too fast!
This is
He laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword. He cannot stand still when the trumpet sounds.
Great. Watch the movie. Get the movie. It's called Secretariat. If you haven't seen it, some say it's the best horse race that's ever been run by Secretariat. What's interesting is when the horse died, when Secretariat died, they did an autopsy on the horse, and they discovered that his heart was 2.5 times the size of a normal horse's heart. Not diseased, but because of his training hard, exercising, loving to run, his heart was 2.5 times the size of a normal horse's heart. So the two things that Secretariat had, he had the genetics. His father was another great horse called Bold Ruler. But he also put in the work, the exercise. And I want to leave you with a scripture, and this is the one I wanted to bring to you tonight. Listen to this scripture. It's Psalm 119, verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. My translation says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I will run the course of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. All of these horses finished the race, but this one was way ahead of the others. And it's like that in the spiritual realm. Two things are required. One is God's part. The second is your part. God's part is the genetics. He gives you his spirit. He's put his spirit within you. But our part is the discipline to choose what we're talking about tonight, to give ourselves to God, to seek his face with all our heart, to put the time in to get up early and wait upon the Lord and seek his face and hear his voice and be strengthened, be shaped and molded by him. The two things, the spiritual impartation and the discipline that goes with it. And the truth of the matter is that there are very, very few people, Christian people, they're the Lord's, there's no doubt about that, but there are very few who want to be a Secretariat. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. And with God's help to put in that time, asking him, as the psalmist did, enlarge my heart, Lord. Enlarge my heart. I want to have greater intimacy with you. I want to have a greater revelation of God. I want to serve you. I want to do the Martha out of this place of union and communion, with you. But it's only going to be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit and the outward discipline of prayer and the Word. I don't know of any other way. So we're going to close now. And I'm standing here. I want to pray this. If you want to pray a prayer with me tonight to ask God to enlarge your heart, then will you stand to your feet, please, and we will pray. Scripture says, "My soul is following hard after you. Your right hand is upholding me." It says in 1 Timothy 4, "Exercise yourself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for genetics, first of all. Lord, thank you for the DNA that you deposited in my heart when you gave me your Spirit, when I received Christ. I'm so very, very grateful, Lord. I can't be what you want me to be. I can't run this race. I can't know you and be fruitful from intimacy without this. But we thank you, Lord, that you live and dwell within us. You've given us your Spirit. But we thank you now, Lord, for spiritual discipline, for spiritual exercise. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when we've not made this a priority, when other things, even legitimate things, have come ahead of you. We do believe, Lord, more than anything else, you want our company, much more than our cooking, although there comes a place for cooking. You want our worship, Lord, before our work. You want being before doing. So help me, Lord. Help me to draw close to you. Help me, Lord, to say no to my flesh. You know how strong, Lord, the flesh is. You know how I love comfort. I love ease. I love slumber and sleep. Help me, Lord, to exercise myself unto godliness. Lord, will you enlarge my heart tonight? My heart is willing. I'm asking, Lord, so that I can run my race, the race that you've ordained for me, and run it well. And if need be, Lord, to run it alone ahead of the rest of the pack. Lord, I pray this. We pray this all together, Lord, in the name of Jesus and for his glory, honor, and praise. Amen.